Welcome to Your Mom is a Podcast. In this your very mom. Special podcast. Your mom. You know what? Your mom. Your mom's a podcast.
Yeah, your mom's a podcast.
Here we interview incredible people and their moms to be like, excuse me, how did you do it?
Yeah.
How did
we want to know? We need the help because Milana and I are both, I'm Sundeep Parikh. You're
Milana Vintra.
And we're both two LA-based comedians and actors, and we're also new parents, and we need help.
We're fools, and we honestly just don't want to mess up our kids. And we're going to talk to people who are incredible and inspiring and change the world, crack us up, all of the above.
Right. To and learn to be better parents, maybe, and also learn to have some compassion for our parents.
Yeah, who maybe did some things a little wonky or a little perfect, because look at us, we turned out to be perfect people.
So welcome to Your Mom is a Podcast.
Can I just say that I think everybody is in love with Colin after this moment? I mean, I know, Sundeep, you have been for a really long time.
I've been infatuated with this man for quite some time. And so I'm really happy to have him on today's podcast. And I think what you're about to listen to me, sort of exemplifies what I was hoping to get out of this podcast in general, which is just a new angle on this really incredible person. Like, sort of, this really validated for me, like, what I thought Colin was, which was just this, like, incredibly kind human being. But then to hear his whole story from his mom and that interplay, it really just sort of validates everything you hoped he would be. And I'm really excited for folks to hear it.
Also validated for me or manifested for me what I was hoping this podcast would be when we started this journey together, which is that it's really funny. It is really beautiful. And I'm not just talking about Colin's face.
Mm-hmm.
It did give me insight on how to raise people better.
Yeah. And it gave me chills. Because you see the impact that not only parents have on their kids, but like the impact that kids have on their parents, you know, like how it's how the learning and the growth goes both ways. And I think we really get a sense of that in this. And that's the thing about, for me, you know, sort of doing our check-in, like I feel like I'm learning so much from being a parent about, you know, my own programming, about, you know, the human condition.
Yeah.
I'm like taking classes from my kid's preschool teacher about like child development stuff that I'm like, man, I wish I knew this stuff way, way earlier. I wish my parents knew this stuff about child development, because it's like, it's so...
It's reparenting. It's like, how do we talk to ourselves better? How do we forgive ourselves? How are we less manipulative in the world? All that stuff.
All that juicy stuff.
Yeah.
Well, don't you guys worry because you're in for a treat. And thank you so much for listening to Your Mom is a Podcast. Be sure to follow this podcast on your favorite apps and apps plural, and rate us, you know, five stars. Why not on the Apples and the Spotify's and the Who's Stitchers and whatever else? Because it helps. It really, really does help. And it helps if you leave a comment. We read them. We will read them and we will respond to them.
I don't know. So, I don't know if I have the guts to read them.
I will.
Honestly.
I love reading them.
Thanks for taking one.
I'll
for the
read
team.
Them. And I'll send you the good ones. Don't
yeah. Just if you could filter them all for me, I really appreciate that. What a pal.
I will. All right, let's jump right in with Colin Ferguson.
Ooh. So Colin Ferguson, if that's your real name, welcome to our podcast. What we did here today, just so you know, is we interviewed your lovely mother.
Oh my.
And asked her all sorts of things about you. And now we are going to play back those clips for you.
Oh, no.
And going to give you a star or not, depending on whether you got those answers right.
Fantastic.
Colin, I don't know if you know this about yourself, so I'm going to let you know.
Please.
You starred in the series Eureka.
Shut up. That was an amazing show.
Yeah, as Sheriff Jack Carter. You also had major roles in The Vampire Diaries and Haven.
Wow. I don't know if major covers it.
We were trying to humble you a little bit.
Yeah. No, you don't have to. That Vampire Diaries series, I did 8 episodes. I think probably the most important 8 of the 100%.
And then also, I'm going to throw in That Moment When. Maybe you've heard of it, starring Milana Weintraub and directed by me. Just throw that out there.
I think the likelihood is that they haven't heard of it.
Oh, that's weird. You can currently be seen on Amazon Prime Video series, The Summer I Turned Pretty.
Yeah, it was. It was the summer that I turned pretty.
That you turned. Wait.
Yeah.
And it was about your character. Happened.
When a man goes into his 50s, he blooms and he turns all of a sudden pretty.
Yeah. All right. Okay. We're going to kick it. We're going to get it. Let's go get it right now, which is
jump right in.
We're going to go there and grasp it by the horns.
Hey, question for you. Do you know how your mom came up with your name?
I know I was named Mark for like 3 months.
Interesting.
But Colin? No, I don't. I have no idea.
All right, let's play the tape. What did Colin's mom say?
To be very honest, we called him Mark for about a week.
Oh,
lies.
Woo.
And then we just, he wasn't a Mark.
Well, Mark, you get a go. I'm going to give you a full gold star for that. I know the time wasn't right, but you know, that's
she's old. She got it wrong. That's not her fault.
Colin, what is your relationship like with your mom now?
What is it like? She lives in Oakville, Ontario, Canada, and I'm here. So we don't see each other very often. We're a very busy family. So we sort of catch each other when we can. Like she's at the fracture clinic or she's doing this or she's volunteering here. So
what does she do? What do you mean fracture clinic? What's that?
She volunteers at the hospital in the fracture clinic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's the clinic for people who have fractured bones?
Yeah. And wow. She'll send me pictures and she's like, oh, I'm golfing. And it's her midwinter with snow on the ground golfing. And I'm like, that's the weirdest. You shouldn't do that. And she's
it's
like,
so
it's
Canadian.
Very hard to find the balls. I was like, I bet it would be hard to find the balls.
I was going
to
ask if you played with like darker ball, like, you know,
yeah,
like,
you
like mini
yes,
golf
she does,
balls.
But like, you'd need to play with a basketball. It's snow. Yeah. Like, that thing's gone.
It's going
to
sink.
Do you have kids of your own?
I do. I have a 9-year-old.
And why only one? And I ask this totally for selfish reasons because I only have one and I'm always like, what do I do now?
Well, because it's mind-bogglingly difficult. And I mean, to enter into a second, I mean, we had the conversation at one point and she was like, oh, I want a second. And I was like, yeah, we're not doing this well. Yeah, we're drowning now. Like I couldn't even imagine I tip my hat to like the people who can pull it off.
Yeah.
But for me it was definitely a survival thing.
And are you an only child?
No, I've got 3 brothers and 3 sisters.
And what's your relationship with them like?
Tenuous.
Yeah.
you know. No, it's there's so many we're so disposable because there's so many of us.
You Ferguson's.
If we lost one, would it really matter? Like, would it really change the dynamic? Not much.
My dad used to say that to me when he didn't let me go somewhere or do something or stay out late. He would go, listen, if I had 10 daughters, I would let you go. But they only have one daughter. Yeah. So you're staying home.
Yeah. Well, I say that to my son. I'm like, look, if I break you, I don't get another. So I've got to try extra hard.
Yeah. There's a lot of redundancy for your mom. So you guys would be set. Well, what were you like as a boy growing up? And you get a bonus point if you mention the specific story that she brought up.
Oh, it's so hard. I was scared of my own shadow, basically, as a young child.
Aww.
I would cry in class all the time. Every year they would call me in and go like, what's the problem with him, hey? You know, and I'm like, I was there. I was in the meeting. And I was like, ah, this is so bad for my self-esteem. But
I was in the meeting.
What's wrong with him? Well, first of all, you're talking about him like he's not here. So that's part of the problem.
They tell this one a bunch because I went into TV that I would just sort of tune out into television all the time. And they would be screaming at me and I wouldn't hear it. I wouldn't hear any of it. Was that the story?
Well, let's find out. What was the story?
No. He was very quiet as a young boy. He was the second child. He had an older sister. And then Colin is the second. And I remember one incident in particular. We found this rabbit's nest. And there were some baby rabbits. And Colin fed them by a dropper. We knew they wouldn't make it, but he was so conscious of these rabbits. And unfortunately, a few days later, they did die. But you could see the kindness that he had for these little things.
That's so, see,
yeah.
So
well, maybe
sweet.
I'm a psychopath and I just wanted to hold it till it died. Maybe I was like really, really broken.
Well, it's funny that you before you, I think, in just saying how selfish you are, or maybe not, I don't know, but your mom really paints the picture of, you know, you as this like quiet, you know, solitary child, this middle child, sleeping beauty, you know, you'd converse with the animals and nurse them back to health. Is that what you recall?
That's what I was. That's okay. What I was. I was really shy. Yeah. I was incredibly shy. I was very, very small as well. I think I was 5'2" in the ninth grade.
What? So you just took HGH or something? Like what?
Yeah. I took a lot of steroids, a lot of drugs. And, yeah. And no, I was just really shy and really, she was being kind with quiet. Like I was problematically shy.
What changed?
I didn't have much of a spine to speak of. And so I was in the first year of college and my buddy, Steve, came up to me and he's like, oh, I want to try this improvising thing. And I was like, that sounds awful and probably the scariest thing. And he's like, no, we're going. And I was like, oh no, that's awful for me. So we went and, I did it and they said, you're great. We want you to start in the troupe and we want you to, and it was that family of improvisers where you weren't responsible to be funny. You had to watch everyone else's back when you were on stage. And that's what I keyed into was like, you got to watch everyone's back. You got to make sure that everyone's okay. And that's what I loved most about it.
So again, it comes from your pet nursing background, I think.
Also, I hope you've written a thank you letter to that friend who took you to that improv class.
See, I did. I actually FaceTimed with him recently, and it's great to still be in touch.
Just retconning to back to the question that your mom answered, I'm going to give you the gold star for being quiet, but no gold star for the rabbit story. You didn't get the bonus. That's okay. Yeah. But maybe you can make it up here. We asked your mom,
I was 42 years old when that rabbit fell into that whale. That's the weirdest bit about
that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, we asked your mom, did you get into trouble growing up, or were you like self-policing? What do you think she said?
She said I was self-policing. I was a really good kid. I didn't do, if you gave me I'm still that way. Like if you say these are the rules, I'm like, okay. You know, and that's the end of that thought. I know the rules now. So I like that. I like dealing with, and I deal with my son that way. I can fly off the handle, but we have rules, and if I'm incorrect about when I get mad, I make absolutely sure that I apologize and explain that, you know, I was wrong. And
what are some of your family rules?
Well, just about respect, about ownership of what you do, that first and foremost, you have to be sensitive to other people's feelings. You have to read the room. That's something we talk about a lot. You know, you can't just come in hot whenever you want. It's about respect for everybody.
I like that.
If you give respect to everybody and they give it back to you, then you're in a good, safe place.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I like to read the room, like take a pause, take a moment to kind of take in the environment and give yourself a chance to settle in.
I mean, he's nine. I say it a lot. I'm like, read the room, buddy. Like, what?
I'm nursing a rabbit over here.
It's going to die any second. Let me focus.
All right. Well, let's see how your mom answered. Did Colin get into trouble or was he self-policed?
No, he didn't. He was quite reserved. But he would speak his mind. I mean, if he really wanted to do something, he would speak his mind. He was, he went to Appleby College and he was the head prefect, really making sure that the kids coming in from being out at the bars, that kind of stuff, hadn't got into too much trouble. And if there were trouble, he would deal with it accordingly. He would get help if needed. It was a huge responsibility, that's for sure. And he did it well.
I love this answer to find out that you were not only like self-policing, but you also like put yourself in charge of others' safety. I mean, clearly, again, coming back to the rabbits. Yeah. Is this why you're Sheriff Jack, Jack Carter, and like how you got cast?
I think so. I think there is something about me that like I don't mean any harm. So I can get away with being mischievous sometimes with my jokes because it's sort of just clear that I'm not gonna do anything wrong. I think it plays into some of the comedy that I do for sure.
Yeah, and just part of your essence is a caretaker and a listener and kind. Yeah.
And narc.
That's also, but that, I think that's part of like,
home monitor. That's really
like Colin, you and I have only met a few times, but I feel like we very quickly get into bits. And I think that's where I feel that from you, is that I know that I'm safe to make fun of you and safe to be weird. And that's really interesting that your mom called that out. Cause I think that is a part of your essence. That's a thing that people notice about you, or whether they, or that's a thing people feel about you, whether they call it out or not.
Yeah. Definite gold star.
And can I ask you, do you think that's just like, you know, as somebody who's raising a boy who I would like to have that attribute in him, like, do you think that's nature or nurture?
I definitely think that nature comes into it hard with boys and nurture, because I think it's, if you don't set up an environment where a boy is allowed to say, I love you and be sensitive, and it's okay to get scared at the part in the movie, if you don't set that up, if you set up sort of a shame spiral, then they'll learn to toughen up. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to keep boys sensitive.
Mm.
Yeah,
I agree. It is important.
By the way, did my mom say when people came back from bars, did I hear that right?
You sure did.
No, this was high school and people were not coming back from bars to school. Like, I was like, the bars? What world did you think I was living in? No.
Yeah, that's what the show is about, is all about harping on your mom for misremembering certain details.
What an idiot. Let's just jump down her
throat. Burn her. Burn her.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
You know, there's all of this lovely sweetness around you and your mom, but what do you think a decision you made, what's a decision you made that she disagrees with?
Oh, wow. A decision I made that she disagreed with. Well, locking her in that box, I know she's gonna, you know, I take issue, let me out now. And, like, nope.
That's such a funny thing to say if you're trapped. I take issue.
I take umbrage with the current situation.
I will write my local representative.
Let's see. What did she take it? I flew across the country to see an ex. Oh, this is terrible.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell this story. I just graduated from college and I was depressed as you were, and a girlfriend called me up. And my ex-girlfriend, she said, I can hear you're down. Come out to Victoria, BC on Vancouver Island. It'll be great. Come on out. So I had like $350. I spent $330 on a one-way trip. She picks me up at the airport and goes, it's so good to see you. This is my boyfriend. Did I tell you I had a boyfriend? And I was like, no, it didn't come up.
Seems like something that could have been brought to my attention yesterday. Yeah.
So your mom, was your mom like aware of the whole thing? Like you saw her advice and she was against it?
That's one of them maybe she took issue with. Maybe it was me becoming an actor. We'll see. I guess we'll find out.
Right? I guess we're about to find out right now.
Last year at McGill, and I was at work and I got this call and he said, I went to somewhere just south of Detroit. And he said, when I was there, I auditioned at Second City. He said, they've offered me something. And I said, I don't think that's a good idea. Get your degree. You're so close to the end. He said, you know what? I think I'm going to call Paul. So that's my other half. And I knew. So then I got a call about half an hour later. And he said, you had a call from Colin. And I said, yeah, what did you say? He said, I said, grab it. You may never get this chance again. Anyways, he did take it and it was great. And he did finish his degree.
So yeah, no gold star for the story answer, but I do love that you thought the one time you didn't get laid is the time that she would have remembered.
Yeah, I love that my stepdad overruled my mom. Like, could you imagine that house? Could you imagine, like, you said what? You didn't go with what I said? Wow.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's such a classic, oh, you said no, I'm going to go ask the other parental figure in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the funny thing was when she said, oh, he went somewhere south of Detroit, my dad's house. I went to my dad's house in Detroit. It was like, you know, somewhere down there. It was like, yeah.
Okay, so wait. So you saw your – so you went to your dad's house, but then you saw your stepdad's approval. Can you just talk a little bit about your, like, you know, growing up and you know, your parenting situation and your relationship to your parents?
My relationship with them – I was at boarding school from the age of – well, I guess I started in the 11th grade, so 11, 12, and I was gone. So that had to be 16 when I wasn't around anymore. And we always had a relationship of, you know, go out there and do stuff. For it was a different era, and the level of knowledge we have now about parenting is so extremely in depth. And back then, they just said, like, find anything. I was such a, I would come home and watch cartoons. I was really smart. I did really well in math, and I did really well in like academic stuff. Mm. But they're like, you don't care about, like, you got to find something that fires you up because this, it's hard to watch, you know, just coming home and not doing, oh, Cheers is on again. I was like, oh, no, you know. Yeah. So that sort of sums up the relationship. I didn't really, if I'm being honest, I don't really feel like I was understood because I was so, I hate to say it, but like, I was so sensitive. I was so shy. I didn't get how everyone else wasn't. Mm. So I didn't really feel seen in that way. Mm. And I really needed to get into an artistic world to find people who were also really sensitive and really sort of naturally empathetic and read rooms differently and would make jokes to deflect and to calm the room and all that stuff. And
so that's
and
where so, you, yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. So the arts is where you felt seen, and that's what drove you to it, really.
Well, that's where I knew where I belonged, you know?
Yeah.
What I also love about this story is that you knew it's what you needed to do. You were just looking for people to validate the thing that you already knew you needed to do. I also really like this idea of, like, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You can finish school later. One of the things that I have a younger sister, and I talked to her a lot about this, or talked to her a lot about this idea of needing to get things done by a certain age and what that is, and the difference of graduating when you're 22 versus graduating when you're 24 is, in the long run, not a difference. In fact, you might become more of yourself or have a clearer understanding of who you are while you're in college, or take a year off or work part-time or whatever.
I have good advice. A buddy of mine's dad gave him. He was 32 and he was a great masseuse. And he wanted to become a doctor. And he's like, I'm not going to get out of medical school till 40. And his dad took this pause and he goes, well, you're going to be 40 anyway.
Yeah.
You might as well be a doctor when you get there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think looking at the shoulds and looking at the inherent drive that we have is really the comparison to pay attention to.
I had to learn to listen to what I wanted to do, and it took me years and years and years to figure it out.
What was that process like? Because, you know, again, what we're trying to do with this podcast is really, like, look at people that we like and respect and be like, how did you get that way? Just so that we are better equipped with our own kids. And that's a real value and a thing that I'm always working on too. And I don't know that I'm great at it. I think I have a lot of room to grow when it comes to listening to myself. But it sounds like you really went from one end of the spectrum to the other and in a few years.
And back again. No, and back again. Yeah, it took like 20 years, I would say. I got into relationships where I would just do what everyone needed. Mm. And then I would end up getting so frustrated because I wasn't seen that I realized, like, oh, I can't do this. And then I went where I don't want to do anything that I don't want to do. Mm. And then I was that monster. It was like, why isn't this working? You know? And so then I've come back now and I can – probably my son has made me who I always wanted to be, hands down.
Beautiful. How so?
He – because he made me patient. He made me realize that a life of sacrifice isn't a life of not being seen. you know, that I could self-monitor. As a parent, you have to self-monitor or you go crazy. You'll give all your energy to your kid and then you'll lose your mind. You know, like that's, I think, common to all parents. Do you guys agree?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to sort of go, do I have the juice to do that? Okay, I need a minute. I got to step away. And being able to catch myself before I lost my mind was always who I wanted to be.
I've been trying to employ this 80-20 rule in our household between me and Hannah, where like we try to talk about like how resourced we are in the moment, like if we're feeling super under-resourced rather than just, you know, acting because that's what you do when you're under-resourced. You go like, hey, sure. I'm under-resourced. I got 20 right now. Can you make it up with the 80 or where are you at? And if I'm like, yo, I'm at like 50, I can only do 50 or I can only do 20 or whatever. Then it's like, okay, we need to have a conversation about cutting stuff back. We need to have a conversation about like, you know, canceling those dinner plans or ordering takeout or whatever. Did you ever employ any of that?
That's very Brené Brown of you.
That's exactly where I got it from. I stole it from Brené Brown. This is not my idea.
My son goes to see his counselor at school and Mr. Gordon.
You know. Love that guy.
Shout out Mr. Gordon. Hashtag Mr. Gordon for this episode.
And he held a course for the parents that was like 7 weeks once a week. Yeah. And we would go in and he would teach us all this stuff. And some of it was in the beginning, I was like, oh, it's so smart. All it is a scale of, you know, green, yellow, orange, red. And it's just monitor your mood. If you're in the orange or the red, you're not going to make a decision that's good for you.
Yeah.
So you got to get out of the orange or the red. And it's all about teaching your kids and having the same language about it that they're getting at school that you're getting. Yep. And so I did it for him. And then I found myself going like, I'm in the red. I got to step away. I'm not going to make a good decision for me.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, and it was so, because it was so simple and almost cheesy, it works.
Yeah.
Because you're like, so simple.
100%. Yeah. It needs to be in order for me, I'm going to get in a little bit of soapbox about this where I think that like we teach ourselves all these things, you know, calculus and whatever else. We take all these classes, but then so many folks, when they finally decide to become a parent, they decide to learn nothing about being a parent and just jump in. And so I took a parenting class with our preschool teacher and I feel like it changed my life. And I feel so much more equipped just from a 3-day course. I'm like, this should be mandatory for everybody. We should all try to learn about child development and these ways to sort of self-regulate for ourselves. It just does wonders. But you know, coming back to you, Colin, because you know you co-parent, right? Like, you guys don't share the same house anymore. You're not with
your partner. She lives next door.
Oh, she lives next door. That's right.
She lives next door, and we just wander back and forth we've distanced the houses like 120 feet apart. So there's, you know, she's on a different street. So different entrances and exits, but we wander back and forth all day and she's amazing.
Okay. So you do still have the ability to like pick each other up to make up for the 80-20 kind of thing.
For sure. That's why we did it. We had friends saying, don't do it. It's insane.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, you know, you just got to pull up your big boy pants and get her done. Like the kid, it's about the kid. So that's just easy to live right there.
I mean,
it has its complications at times, but I would say the benefit.
But so does living in the same house.
Yeah.
Totally. Totally.
What do you think your mom said was your worst trait?
Oh, lack of confidence for sure. They would get so frustrated with me. Because I could do all this stuff. Like when I did sports, you know, I was like co-captain of the team and I could do the academics and, you know, I could do the acting. And they're like, you're not an idiot. Like what? Where is this coming from? Just have some faith. And I think that really frustrated them as parents watching their kid not believe in themselves. Mm. It just crushed them a little bit.
What would you say to your parents now if you could have a conversation with them then about raising a kid who has confidence issues?
Well, they were given some very bad advice. Back when I was really little, they were told by the guidance counselor, tell him to swallow turkey. Tell him, that's what they'd say, swallow turkey all the time. Tell him.
That's a Canadian thing? What is that?
No, I don't know where. They said, tell him when he's about to cry, it's like choking down dry turkey.
Oh,
choke it down. Just, you got to make
suppress
him choke
your
it down.
Emotions.
Yeah. Yeah. So, which made it worse, right? Because I was like, I can't do this. And so that wasn't good. But I remember my fifth grade teacher Mrs. Martin, they asked her one day, they said, what, is he going to be okay? Like, is he going to be all right? And she said, absolutely, unequivocally, he's going to be great. And that was the first time that I remember somebody having confidence in, like,
all right.
She said, she was my creative writing teacher. And she said, I see what's in his head. I see what's in his heart. He's going to be fine. He's going to put it all together.
Let's hear what your mom had to say about what your worst trait is.
Oh.
He wasn't perfect, I can tell you that. I mean, you know, it's not that he would lie, but where he was going, it would just discreetly be left from the conversation.
Wow.
So she said lies of omission. Okay.
Lies of omission. Yeah. Okay.
Is she thinking of the right child? She had so many.
Yeah, maybe. I can see myself, not necessarily with where I'm going, but I could absolutely see myself in the household I was growing up in, it being better to not disclose.
Mm.
Okay. What do you mean? You know, what would happen?
There were a lot of kids. And so depending on the tone, it was a bit of a hair trigger house. So you're like, sometimes it's better to just not say anything and be like, oh, what? What? You know, and just play dumb instead of admit to maybe something. But I was so dutiful. Like I was such an obedient kid that I didn't really have a history of like going out and doing things.
Eh, on this one, sorry, no gold star. And who knows if you're lying right now? I can't trust you. We did ask your mom, what could she have done better as a parent you? And what do you think that she might have said?
Maybe not necessarily what you think she would have done better. What do you think she said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm not letting her out of the box now. I'm just going to
keep her in the box.
So what I think she could do better as a parent. Wow. I would think with the knowledge she has now about the emotions that we're allowed to have and whatnot, she might want to, or maybe the direction I went with my career, maybe push me to go into that sooner. I've no idea what she's going to say. Let's see.
Okay. Well, we'll take your career answer and see.
Patience, you know, I mean, I'm patient, but sometimes it was just, okay, you've got to pick up these toys and really minutia.
Yeah. So patience, I think what she was getting at, right, was this idea that she had many agendas to juggle.
See her as a parent, just like me. That's really affirming to be like, yeah, that's what I wrestle with. You know, I'm trying to get my whole day done and his done, and I got to make his meal and then watch him eat his meal and then clean his meal. And you know, you're like, the patience is like, I don't have time for this, but I do. Mm-hmm. So it's really sort of humanizing to hear her go, I could have been more patient.
Yeah. You know? Do you recall that, like her being?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean,
I lose sleep over it. Do I remember it?
Oh, my God. It was a crazy house. I mean, she had three kids three kids in 4 years. And then, you know, there was like a 10-year break and then she had two more kids. And so she was just, I mean, I couldn't even imagine. I have one. I lack patience with one. So,
Yeah, what a saint to think about people who have had so many children continue to have so many children and hold their lives together or prioritize their marriage or their health or their mental health. I bow down to you.
Oh, and she was a single woman for a bunch of it, right?
Wow,
like that was three kids, single woman, trying to, like, I don't even know how that works.
What a hero.
Yeah.
So in that regard, is there something that you see in your parenting that you would do differently? So we asked her that.
What's your truth there? What my would be, I think I would take a page out of your playbook for sure. If I could do anything differently, it would be a parenting course. Like the second I found out that my partner was pregnant, I would get on it early. I've learned so much. It's benefited me so much as a person, in my relationships, like not even as a parent. It's been, I had a buddy who became a therapist and we were drinking one night and he's like, I've messed up every relationship I've been in. He's like, I wish I knew all this before.
Yeah.
He's like, that would have been the greatest thing to know when I was starting out.
Yeah, so much of what I've learned through parenting courses and books and all of that is is a very simple kind of how do you talk to people without manipulating them? How are you more honest and less manipulative? And by manipulation, I mean, you don't just say something to try to get what you want, but you actually express your actual needs and listen to the other person's actual needs and sometimes grieve that you're not going to get what you want and then celebrate when you do or have whatever your genuine reaction response is when you do. But yeah, so much of it is like, how do you not manipulate your children and practice honest discourse? Honest, nonviolent discourse.
Nonviolent discourse. So,
and they're the ones who get hit first because you always allow yourself to be freer with them than you would with any adult. You know what I mean? Because they're
so freaking forgiving. Like they will love you.
I mean, one thing I definitely do that I give him is I tell him I'm a very flawed person.
Yeah.
He knows that. I was like, look, I am not doing this right. I've never done this. Yeah. I'm doing my best because I love you to death.
Yeah.
But like you're going to be a better parent than me because that's what we want humans to do. We want the kids to be better than the parents and then the whole species gets better.
One of the things that I heard Esther Perel say was that, you know, your kids take so much energy. And the thing that's really hard to do, but you have to do, is ask yourself, does your marriage matter to you? And if it does, sometimes that means you have to take some energy away from your kid and put it towards your marriage. And the taking it away from your kid, especially in those early years, feels like neglect,
like,
or
abuse,
feels shameful, or
selfish.
This isn't how it's supposed to, or selfish, right?
Yeah.
And actually, you know, as somebody who grew up with parents who fought a lot and should have gotten divorced a decade before they actually did, I would have loved to see my parents prioritize their marriage a little more. Mm. So, and I actually think that's true for friendships too, is like, how do you take a little bit of energy away from your kids and put it towards your friendships? You have to take a little bit of energy away from your work and put it towards your relationship. It's all this.
You do a podcast
budgeting
with your buddy.
That's how we get to spend some time together.
We
asked your mom, what was the proudest moment or the moment that she felt the proudest of you, Colin? What do you think she said?
When I won that Nobel Prize and walked out onto that stage.
Which one?
It was
the first one.
The first one for peace. Yeah, the first one for peace. Yeah, no, my scientific work, it's just something I do on the side. But when I walked out on that stage for peace, it was, the proudest moment, probably, I would say maybe when she saw me in a movie, maybe, or maybe it would be when I became a dad. It's going to be one of the two.
Let's play the tape.
My dad was very ill. Colin was very close to my dad. And so I was talking to Carl and I said to him, I don't think it's going to be very long. And he said, have you told grandpa it's okay for him to go? And I broke down on the phone and I said, Colin, I can't. He said, I'll be there tomorrow. And he flew here and we went over to the home my dad was in, and Colin talked to him, and I was sitting outside, and I have to tell you, it just touched my heart. And my dad passed the next day. He needed that permission, and Colin was just so kind, and it was incredible to listen to.
I'm crying because I got the answer wrong.
Yeah, no, I know. I know, I know.
It's just devastating. I was so close to doing well.
That's why I'm crying.
Get back in the box. I'm crying.
So you did get the answer wrong, but I think you won life.
So I had no idea she heard what I was saying. I had no idea she was outside the room. That's the first time I've heard that she heard what I was saying to him. Yeah.
Wow.
I told him that he had a great life, and I told him, oh, yeah. Huh. Funny stuff. He was in the late stages of Alzheimer's and he couldn't speak. So I just wanted him to hear and feel the feeling of being appreciated for all that he had done, and that I wanted him to feel seen.
What a gift. What a gift to give somebody.
Yeah. She was outside laughing. Wow. Wow. Outside the slapping her knee.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
To think that you thought it was like just having your son or whatever.
Right?
Like, come on.
A little privacy, please. Hello. Who raised you?
Yeah.
That's actually our follow-up podcast called Who Raised You? where children get to face their parents for all of their shortcomings.
Can I tell you one thing about that story?
Of course. Please.
So he was in Alzheimer's. He had Alzheimer's for you. This is a crazy human story. And every month, my mom was like, oh, he's not going to make it. Oh, he's not going to make it. This went on for years because Alzheimer's is pretty brutal to watch go. So I'm on the, having the same conversation I've had 10,000 times. She goes, oh, he's not going to make it. And literally something went, oh, I got to go. And I was on a plane the next morning and he died the next day.
Yeah.
I have no, she said nothing different, but the ability that she could see it, know it, communicate it to me in ways that none of us understood, but yet I knew I had to be there is one of those weird human moments where you're like, oh, there's so much more being communicated than we know.
Colin, it sounds like you are really tapped into those human moments. It sounds like that's how you've made a lot of your big decisions.
Yeah.
It's like your sensitivity is your strength, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So I tell my son that. My son's very sensitive and he hates it.
It's like your superpower.
As we do. And that's what I told him. I said, it's your superpower. I said, you know Superman? He's like, yes. I was like, imagine how much stuff he broke. Imagine growing up, how much trouble he got into, all the stuff he broke that he loved, that he shattered, how frustrating that was. And it becomes his superpower. What you're frustrated with now will become what defines you.
Yeah.
So, you know, hang in there.
Oh, man.
Beautiful lesson for this parenting podcast.
I guess the perfect time to go to our goofy final section of the lightning round.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Play the music. All right, Colin. So your point values are doubled here. Okay. So this is a big deal. These are rapid fire questions and answers. They're quick answers. So we'll put pretend time on the clock. Here we go. We asked your mom, what's the best place to live? Canada or the U.S.? What do you think she said?
Oh, she said Canada.
Yeah, it's a gimme. Go ahead, play the tape.
Canada.
Great. Bing. Next question. Three adjectives to describe Colin.
Sensitive, sweet, 6 feet tall.
Play the tape.
Tall, handsome, kind.
Tall, handsome, and what was the last one?
Kind.
Kind.
That works. That works for me.
You definitely got tall, so I'm going to give you the points. I'm going to give you
and that was a joke. I thought that wasn't going to play.
I know. I love that you picked two physical things and then kind.
Yes.
Like he's hot. He's hot. He's tall.
He can reach things up high.
Yeah. He gets all the wine glasses from the top shelf. What's a superpower that he would want?
To fly.
Happiness. He could make everybody happy. I think he'd love that.
Her answer is better than mine.
Oh, yeah. Your superpower would be to make other people happy. That's brilliant.
Yeah. I would love that.
You know, she clearly doesn't read Marvel, so.
Well, she's never seen my work, clearly. She's like, well, I wish you could make other people happy.
You do.
What's the best gift that Colin ever gave you?
Oh, the best gift I ever gave my mom was... I never gave her a good gift in happiness.
You say as you shrink down in shame, shrivel up.
A little teddy bear. It was a teddy bear when he was a little boy and it was really, really cute. I still have it.
Wrong.
Exactly. I had no idea. Yeah.
All right, we asked.
Bear was free.
Do you remember the teddy bear? Do you remember it?
No, I have no clue what it is. Okay. I gave her Danielle Steel books and bubble bath all the time. What did she like?
Amazing. Hey, we asked her, what was your most irrational fear?
Probably heights, I would say.
Okay.
Having to pick up dog poop when it's walking the dog.
That's not irrational. That's another species. What?
Fecal phobia is real. Okay. Yeah. What's your pet name?
Collie. Or when I was really young, they called me the big guy.
Collie Wally.
Collie Wally. I'm gonna call you Mark. So
yeah, right.
I'm gonna call you the big guy,
ding.
It won't be weird in public at all.
The big Mark. All right, we asked, what is your favorite food?
Pizza, she would say. Broccoli.
Well, as a kid, it was mac and cheese.
Yes, it was.
And right now, honestly, maybe a barbecue.
Okay, so wrong on both accounts.
Okay. Yeah.
And what do you think your mom's favorite acting role of yours is?
The Hallmark movies.
It's Christmas in July on the Hallmark station. Right now.
You kind of picked a genre.
Yeah.
I had filmed it and I watched Christmas in Montana. I love that.
That's right.
I really like that. It's schmaltzy, but I really like it.
I'll give it to you, but you just, aren't you in like 12 of them or something? So you really
100,000 Hallmark movies, yes.
Oh, okay.
All right. We asked her, what's her least favorite acting role of yours? What do you think she said?
Oh, When I Die. She hates movies where I die.
Okay.
With Wonder Woman. And it was
pretty violent. Yeah.
And he ends up shooting her at the end of it. And I remember calling him and saying, I don't like watching this at all. And he just laughed.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just laughed. I'm giving you half a point because I'm giving you or one gold star on that because it's not because you died. It's because you shot Wonder Woman. That's what she was upset about.
Well, okay. She's incorrect. I did not shoot Wonder Woman. Oh. I got shot and died. I was acting with Linda Carter.
It was called
A Prayer in the Dark. And she was a Quaker. And I was a guy from the wrong side of the tracks.
Oh, so this isn't a Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I was like, I think I would know.
Yeah, no. This was a movie of the week. It was a movie of the week that we.
Oh, so you were acting with the actress Linda Carter who played Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Also, that's such a mom thing to do, to just call the actress the character that she played 35 years ago. I love that. Okay, so what do you think your mom described Eureka as?
It was a town of scientists and he was the sheriff.
I just thought it was way out there, but I really enjoyed it. It would be hard to describe. You have to watch it because it is out there. And it was really far-fetched for me.
So this is a weird time to find out that your mom never watched your show, huh?
It was different and it was on television.
Yeah, it's true. And he was in it.
And it's hard to describe because I haven't seen it.
So. It was out there. It was some pretty crazy stuff.
So look, you did all right, that's the lightning round. You did pretty well, man. 2, 4, 6.
Thank you.
8, 10, 11, and 14 and a half.
Yes. You are a joy, Colin. Thank you so much for your time. It means the world to us. And thanks for your lessons in raising this little guy that is your responsibility and teaching us how to raise our little guys a little better.
It's so nice to do this. I think this is a public service of a podcast, and I'm really appreciative that you guys are doing it.
Oh, well, thanks, actually, man. No one is listening. This was just for you.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, you're guys. Welcome.
I love you, buddy. This was amazing.
Thank you so much, Colin.
Thanks for doing this.
Thank you, guys. Yeah.
Oh, man, what a ride. We brought a beautiful grown man to tears. this is the magic of the show. I really am so excited about this. It's like, I feel like this show is kind of a gift to our friends and these and the folks we interview to like hear this stuff from their parents. Like, to me, it was you never know who's listening, I guess. Like, whatever you put out into the world, it has impact, clearly, and you never know what's going to land for people. And for Colin's mom to share this really intimate moment about her father passing away and this moment between her and Colin was, I think, just unbelievably special. It just makes me not want to take anything for granted in terms of my time with the people that I love on this earth, mm-hmm. You know?
I think also the thinking about like the relationship that your kids have with your parents and how different that is and how powerful it is.
Yeah, it's incredible how we kind of live for each other, huh? And like, mm-hmm. I had all four grandparents, but I only really got to know one of them because they all passed when I was really, really young or before I was born. So I just feel like, my little dude's so lucky to have all four grandparents in his life. Yeah. And it is such a special relationship. And so I'm always like, any opportunity I can get them together, it's a special one.
Yeah. The more people who love your kid, the better.
Totally. And we'll babysit for free.
One of my biggest takeaways from this is Colin's self-motivated drive to discover himself.
Like, yeah, screw him. Ugh. How do you get that?
I don't know how to do this yet, obviously, but I'm interested in the goal of helping my kid listen to himself.
Totally. I think that's the difference. Is I feel like he was taking his cues from himself, from his own.
Eventually,
needs.
Like he was a rule follower, right? And yeah. He did all the classes and he got good grades and did all the things that people told him to do. And then there was a moment where he was like, I think I gotta go try this Second City thing out.
Yeah, I could go a different direction. Yeah, yeah. But I just feel like it came from a real internal place. And I think that's really cool. Anyway, this was a fantastic episode. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Your Mom is a podcast is hosted by Milana Weintraub and Sundeep Parikh. It is executive produced by Milana Weintraub, Sundeep Parikh, and Stephen Hine. Editing and sound design is by Sean Marr. Music by Matt Friedman. This podcast comes from Effin' Funny Productions and Story Mill Media. Be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram and TikTok at Your Mom is a Podcast.
Hello.
Hey, Mom, how's it going?
You'll never guess where we are.
Oh, where are you?
We're in BC with Heather and John and the kids.
You're in BC or you're in Alberta?
No, we're in BC.
You went to BC. You guys all went across the border? No, British Columbia.
Oh.
That's not across the border. Still in Canada.
I know it's on. It's in Britain. You crossed a provincial border. Anyway, hey, Mom, we're on the show right now.
What?
Yeah. We're on. Remember the show you did where my friends called and they interviewed you?
Yes.
You're on speakerphone on the show right now.
Well, how do you connect to it?
Well, you can. No, it's on. You're just. We're recording this conversation and it's being recorded. And then it'll air later.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Anyway, Mom, thank you so much for all the answers. That was so sweet, and I found it humbling. And I really appreciate some of the stuff that you said and some of the stuff that you feel.
Oh, Colin, everything was true. And I think the funniest thing, not the funniest thing, but I said to both of the guys, when I come to visit Colin, maybe we can all get together for coffee. And both of them started to laugh. And I said, I didn't say anything funny. And they said, no, but you know what? Colin told us you'd probably say something like that.
Tell her we want to go to coffee with her.
Yeah, they say they want to go to coffee with you. And thank you so much, Mom. I appreciate it so much.
Okay, well, as soon as I get there, we're going.
Okay. All right, love you. I'll talk to you later.
I love you so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, hung up on her.
American Giant makes great clothing, t-shirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S., creating jobs in towns and cities across the country. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.